From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, June the 24th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Greg Hudson reported in the Daily Mail that emergency responders in the town of Hunter have asked local officials for nearly $250,000 to fund the purchase of two new ambulances. Greene County EMS paramedics representative Glenn Morrison told the Hunter Town Board on Wednesday, June the 22nd, the department is experiencing maintenance issues with the two ambulances currently in use. The two vehicles were purchased in 2008 and have each logged more than 120,000 miles since that time. Morrison said, and I quote, "They've had good lives, they've been very good vehicles, and they've lasted for quite a while," end quote. New vehicles would be custom built and run on Mercedes power. The board did not commit to funding the purchase Wednesday, but said EMS and the town should continue to explore the options together. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Michael Ryan is reporting in the Daily Mail on the recent adoption of a local flood analysis by the town of Lexington. The report was prepared by the engineering firm Malone and McBroom in the aftermath of Tropical Storm Irene. The study identified vulnerable areas within the town and provided several options for reduced flooding. One option is the replacement of the Route 42 bridge over the Schoharie Creek. That project would be part of a five-piece mitigation plan for the Lexington Hamlet District and also include the removal of a home on the south side of Route 13A and the Lexington Hotel. And while the analysis found that some of the engineering changes had merit, it noted many of the changes were not cost-effective. However, the document, as adopted by the town board, provided potential funding sources for the various proposals, including the Federal Emergency Management Agency. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. William J. Kimball is reporting in the Daily Freeman that New Platt's town officials were urged to ask New York State to drop Ayers Management Investments because the firm allegedly offers a fund that supports the Pilgrim Pipeline project. Calls for the board to press the state to drop the fund at the meeting on Thursday, June the 23rd, included comments from Jess Mullen, a member of the Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipelines. Mullen said New Platts has already demonstrated it wants to take a leadership role to avoid problems such as those experienced in California, where a crude oil pipeline ruptured earlier that day. In the past 2 months, the village of New Platts and the town of Rosendale have passed resolutions objecting to investments in Ayers Management. There is some uncertainty about whether the state pension system has investments in the pipeline, however. The state comptroller's office denies there is pension money invested in the proposed Pilgrim project. If constructed, the two 182-mile pipelines would run from Albany to Linden, New Jersey, moving natural gas to New Jersey and refined fuels north to Albany, largely along the I-87 corridor. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Harry Teasdale in the Columbia paper reports that school may be out for most local students, but there is an election on Tuesday. On June the 28th, primary election voters will pick which two candidates will compete to replace Chris Gibson, the Republican from Kinderhook, in the fall election for New York's 19th congressional district. John Faso of Kinderhook and Andrew Haney of Millbrook in Dutchess County are on Republican ballots, and Zephyr Teachout of Dover Plains in Dutchess County and Will Yandick of the town of Livingston in Columbia County are on Democratic ballots. You can find the websites for information about the candidates on the WGXC Newsroom blog, newsroom.wgxc.org. WTEN News 10 in Albany reports that last week, the New York Department of Environmental Conservation sent formal surveys to more than 150 facilities that may have used the PFOA chemical that is tied to drinking water poisoning in two Rensselaer County towns. Many fire departments, airports, and other facilities that may have used the related chemical PFOS in firefighting foam were also sent formal surveys, all due for return by July 15th. Vermont and New Hampshire started similar statewide surveys earlier this spring. You can read that full story on WTEN's website. Now here's Andrea Sears reporting for the Public News Service on national PFO legislation.
The first major overhaul of the Federal Toxic Substances Control Act is now law. President Obama signed the legislation Wednesday, vastly expanding the Environmental Protection Agency's authority to test and regulate the thousands of chemicals in daily use. Liz Hitchcock with Safer Chemicals, Healthy Families calls that a significant improvement.
The federal government now has the authority to take action on toxic chemicals that it has not had.
The original law, passed in 1976, made the cost of regulation a major consideration and set standards for scientific proof of harm that were so high the EPA was even blocked from regulating asbestos. Unable to regulate, the agency tried setting voluntary limits on the use of some compounds, including PFOA, the suspected carcinogen found in the drinking water in Hoosick Falls, New York. The law now makes health and environmental considerations the sole criteria for regulation, a change Hitchcock thinks might have made a big difference 40 years ago.
We could hope that EPA would have regulated PFOA and prevented the health hazards now being experienced in communities all over the country.
The new law requires the EPA to test 10 chemicals a year initially, expanding to 20 a year once protocols are established. But there are some 80,000 chemicals sold in the United States. Hitchcock says that means the pace will be very slow, but if the EPA gives known harmful substances the highest priority, it will make a real difference.
If we can take action on even a small number of chemicals that have a big health effect, we can affect the lives of millions of Americans.
But Hitchcock also criticizes the new law for putting restrictions on the ability of states to impose their own regulations on harmful chemicals. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 82 degrees. But Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 57. The forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday, will be sunny with a high near 83 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 58. On Sunday, sunny with a high near 88 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61. Sunrise today was at 5:20 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:35 p.m., providing us with 15 hours and 15 minutes of daylight, exactly the same as yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 24th day of June, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.